Father in heaven, we thank you again for songs that bless our heart. We thank you for the precious word of God that tells us about you. And Lord, as we open this book again, we are grateful to know everything to the answers of problems in life you have in this book. You are not just do it automatically, even though just like you won't save us automatically. We have to come and believe your word. We have to admit that you're right and we're wrong, and we have to do what the Bible says in the process of having eternal life. It's a birth. And we thank you for that, and understanding what little we do, understand about it enough to let this world know there's no relationship with God the Father without the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, you will clean every chamber of our heart up when we come to you, and we thank you for that. Now we'll open this book again. Bless your name. Bless your Son. Holy Spirit, help us as we yield to you to exalt him this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Gospel of John chapter 5. And I want to give you the top of my message to begin with this morning before we get into this, because I believe with all my heart, there's a lot of folks, in fact, I've seen in the last few weeks, a lot of folks would tell you they believe in the right system, but it's the wrong system because Jesus Christ is not in the system, or if he is, he's there by name only. You know, you can't just know his name and be saved. Now, you have to know his name to get saved. Because another name under heaven given unto men whereby we must be saved through. But you have to trust him. And when he becomes your Jesus, your Lord, your Savior, it's not because you say he is, it's because he birthed you into the family of God when you were born again. And so now we see Jesus in the early part of his ministry. He's just getting started out pretty good, probably almost in the first year of his ministry. And here we find the scriptures reading, and I want to, before I read a few verses about this story, I want you to understand when I said about this wrong system. And my subject today is do not trust the wrong system, because it's very easy. Satan is a mastermind of disguise. Religion comes in many forms. Religion can be used in a lot of different ways, but there's only one way to get to God. That's through the Lord Jesus Christ, the new birth. But let's look at this, what happened here, and learn some things about how easy it is to trust the wrong system. Did you know that Israel had the right system, but when Christ came, they reversed and got and looked at the wrong system? And, of course, it might have been in God's predetermined counsel, but it was because what he knew they were doing, therefore he worked around it to give the best for humanity, because his plan's going to come out, I don't care how bad this world gets, his plan's going to come out like he wants it to. And he's going to do what he's planned to do. He may take the time to do it and deal a long time with humanity, but one of these days when humanity stands before him, they'll realize they had plenty of time to do what he asked them to do. And therefore their mouths will be shut, the law will shut it, and they in turn will find themselves in the place that they don't want to be, the place that he said was created for the devil and his angels. But thank God, you and I who are saved, Brother Keith preached that this morning in the Sunday school class, we're headed towards our home. This is not our home if you're born again. We're headed towards our home. But now let's see what happened. If we look in verse 5, verse 1, we'll read pretty fast. Got a number of scriptures to read. He said, after this, there was a feast at the feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, he had done, if you go back and look, you see a number of things that Christ was involved with. The noble son was healed. Also, he talked and had deal with the Samaritan. After he had been doing what he was doing, he leaves now and goes towards Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda, having five porches. In these laid a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, he said, waiting for the moving of the waters. Now, he explains that. Verse 4 says, when an angel went down at a certain season unto the pool and troubled the water, whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in the midst of in was made whole of whatever disease he had. Now, I've studied a lot about that verse in the last few weeks, and I've had everything in the world you can think scholars said about it. They're saying this is very unusual here because some of the way this was written didn't come out in some of the way it should have come out. I think it came out like God wanted it, though. But I had read one person said that the scholar who a lot of people put great emphasis on in his ministry of years past, that a Greek scholar said that this was something that that really didn't, because they didn't know what happened. They knew the water was stirred. Only one person could be healed if it was stirred. And they said it didn't seem right. And the apostle, they believe, made that up later, add to it. Sure, there was something happening there, but it wasn't like this that they made it up. Well, I'm going to take it like God put it. The Holy Spirit knows more than they do. And so I just assumed here there was a place, and they were filled up with people who had all kinds of problems. And somehow or another, they didn't know when, at periodic times, that water would be stirred. And when it was stirred, I don't know why the first one got in there could be healed. I know this, it wasn't the water that healed them. There's no, that water can't do that. Just like clay on a man's eye can't heal him. And we'll look at that in just a few minutes. But let's go a little further. He says, and a servant man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. Now, I want you to say that with me, 38 years. One more time, 38 years, because we're going to see why I say that in a few minutes. A man, I don't know if he probably hadn't been going there 38 years, but I know for a number of years he'd been going there because he'd had this infirmity for 38 years. And watch, and when Jesus saw him and knew that he had been now a long time, in that case, he said unto him, will thou be made whole? Amazes me. Will thou be made whole? First thing I thought, well, if he knew him, you know he wants to be made whole. He'd been there 38 years. He'd been that way. Why would Jesus ask this man that when he knew him already there? Well, there's reasons for that. It wasn't because Christ didn't know what the trouble was. And it amazes me, listen to what the man said. And when he saw him, he said, will thou be made whole? Then the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming in, another stepped down before me. Now, he didn't know who he was, evidently. He said, sir, I just know this. Here I lay on my mat, on my bed, it was called. Most people said it was a mat which he carried, but we called it his bed. That's where he slept at. Well, that's where he laid at. That's where he stayed at because he couldn't walk. And he said, before I can get in there, somebody else gets in there. And watch. Jesus said unto him, wait a minute, isn't that amazing? He first asked, would it be whole? Then his fellow said, well, I don't know. He didn't know who he was, but he said, I just know this. If the angel comes down, the water gets stirred, and I can't get in there. And because I can't get in there first, somebody else who can walk and get in there, and I just can't get in there. I just can't get in there. Someone goes before me. And then it amazes me. Jesus said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. He didn't say but seven words. Rise, take up thy bed and walk. Isn't that amazing? He didn't say be healed. Got you there, didn't it? You want us to go home now? Watch. And immediately, I love that. Hey, he didn't put him down and say, get up again. He didn't put him down and say, get up again. Immediately, he got up. Watch. And then he said, and when he saw him lie there, and immediately, verse 9, and immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Now the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. Is it not lawful? It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, and I like his answer. He answered them, he said, if I cannot read between this a little bit, he said, hey, I don't even know who he is. He that made me whole, though the same said unto me, take up my bed and walk. I don't know who he was, but I'll tell you this. I've been 38 years on that thing. You think I'm going to listen to you? He said, take up thy bed and walk. 38 years. And then they come and say, whoa, you can't do that. You ain't carry your bed on the Sabbath day. Then I like it as I go forth. And he said, then ask they, what man is this which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? He said, he that was healed wist not who it was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, and a multitude been in that place. Isn't that amazing? Here Jesus walks up, he don't know who the man is. And he looks at him, knew who he was. Would that be made whole? The fellow said, oh boy, I sure would. You don't know how many times I tried to get in that pool. You know, the angel comes down and starts that. They don't know how many times I tried to get in that pool. And somebody gets in there before I am. And suddenly this strange man, he didn't even know, said, rise up and walk. Take your bed and walk. Then notice he said in verse 13, and he that was healed was not, it was in verse 14, afterwards Jesus findeth him in the temple. Isn't that amazing? After Jesus found him, that's important right there. After Jesus found him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest any worse thing come upon thee. Isn't that unto thee? Boy, Jesus knew something that didn't say out here, but you know this. He said, there must have been some sin brought that about because he don't do it no more. You know what? The man departed and told the Jews then. He found out who it was. It was Jesus which hath made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh here unto it, I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but had said also that God was the Father, making himself equal. Look in verse 37. And the Father himself, Jesus said, have sent me, had borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard the voice from any his voice any time, nor seen his shape. Ye have not his word abided in you, for whom he hath sent him ye believe not. Jesus said, hey, if you don't believe on the one that God sent, God's word's not abiding in you. Don't you think that's something you can also use today? To realize if a person really knows Christ, knows God, they're going to know Jesus Christ. And he goes on, he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Let me give another look in John. Look in John chapter 9 with me, in verse 4. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man worketh. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And then you see in chapter 17, we saw back study on Wednesday night, I have glorified thee on the earth, in verse 4. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me with thy own self, with the glory I had with thee before the world was. In John chapter 5, in verse 1 through 9, we have the account of Jesus healing a paralyzed man by the tool of Bethesda. The story takes us by the sheep gate in verse 2. And then the gate is located, this gate is located in the northern wall of Jerusalem. And it tells us that a group of people there, a massive group of people, no doubt, impotent people, lame, blind, paralyzed people, gathered regularly, daily, waiting for this great magical moment, believing that when the water was stirred, the first one in the pool would be healed. But something seemed to happen at the pool periodically. They didn't know when, but that water was stirred. And it seemed that there was no proof that there was any healing power in the water, but no one could really, the thought that came from there, no one really knew what it was, and the fact it seemed like somebody got better. It seemed like that it was actually something to that. And then some people said, oh, it's really what God is saying, that the world is waiting for the sun to pass by and the gospel so they can hear the truth about him and be saved. But we'll pick up that in just a few minutes. Yet the pool did represent all mankind, because every variety of person who was there, suffering, waiting, despair, and believing something would happen. And Jesus sought out this man who had been paralyzed for 38 years. What about the rest of them? Did he not have compassion on them all? Could he not have healed them all? Yes, he could have. Why one out of who knows many? Many, but only this one. He's on a timetable. He has a message, and every message is connected to what he's doing as he heads towards Calvary to save human beings. He's not got long on this earth, and he's going to do more in 3.5 years than any man can do in a lifetime to be 100 years old. Oh, as a matter of fact, he'll live forever in physical body and not be able to do what Jesus did for you and I, because he's in a fallen condition. And so I see here, he represents them. And so Jesus sought this man out. What misery that the blind, lame person with no hope, no friend, no family, and no companion to rely on for help. Jesus knew all about this man, his heart, his character, and his history. And in turn, he did something for him that he didn't even ask. He said, I can't get in the water, but you never find he asked Christ to do anything for it. And I began to see some things about this. The important man was held under a bondage of the law of the Sabbath. Not only was he in bondage of the sickness he had, but he was in the bondage of the Sabbath. But wait a minute. Here's something Jesus teaches us when he tells us he relieved us from the curse of the law. This man, by being healed on the Sabbath, was free by Jesus from his crippleness. And also he was free, ladies and gentlemen, from the bondage of the law. If Christ could heal him, He could give him freedom from the bondage of the law. I say to you, if God's Son can save us, He can deliver us from the curse of the law. Therefore, in our day, we can say the same thing. The law has no touch on it. Oh, yes, it tells us what we should be, but it cannot curse us anymore. Jesus Christ has removed the curse. And that's something we're seeing here. Not only did He heal this man, but he was not under the curse of the law either. Because God has did something for him, and he obeyed God's Son rather than something passed down as far as the law. It didn't change. God's law is holy. But there's some other things about that that Jesus Christ lets us know. That when He delivers us, He delivers us. And I'll tell you, you find this out, no matter what the law may said, when Jesus said, take up thy bed and walk, He did just that. He obeyed Him at that time. And then, this is nothing unbiblical about physical substance having healing situations, though, yet the situation has no power to heal. I know that. The water cannot heal. I don't care what people may think there. John chapter 9, verse 6, Jesus had healed a blind man by using clay. I've read some places, oh, there was something in that clay. No, there was nothing in that clay could heal, but in the hands of God, He just did something so they'd see something done, that the power was what Christ had as God. Amen. He healed. And you see again, the brass serpent in Numbers chapter 2, 21, verse 8 and 9, that God said to put up when they were bitten by those snakes. And everyone who looks at that brass serpent, did the snake venom would drain from their body. That brass serpent didn't have a thing the world to do with the healing, but it did represent the Lord Jesus Christ, according to John chapter 3, after He came and died. And then I see also in Acts 19, verse 12, he's talking about handkerchiefs and aprons were prayed over and given to sick, sent to sick people in that day. And a lot of folks say that means for the same thing today. There's no healing in prayer aprons and handkerchiefs. It came from the hand of God. But at the same time, ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind, they had the Holy Spirit, but they didn't have the rest of God's Word either. And so we have something that tells us what to do a whole lot more when we go to God like we should and listen to Him than someone somewhere else praying who may not even be right with God and send something and say there's power in this handkerchief or in this particular whatever they have. So no explanation is as to why this man had to get into the pool when the water was troubled, other than the fact he thought and he knew that something happened. But I thought about, well, if he couldn't get in there the first, I wonder why somebody couldn't God have been there to settle the third or the fourth. Because I would think, he said first one, maybe. But who knows? I think that if it's all the first one, I'd got in there somehow, and I'd hope if I was the tenth, it might have happened. Now, there's something here the Lord's letting us know about that He's fixing to do, which will be a great blessing to us, ladies and gentlemen, as we look into this scripture at this time. I will give you three quick points about this. Do not trust the wrong system. Why did Jesus not heal them all? Because in time, Jesus worked with a purpose in His life, and that's what we just read in John chapter 6, and when I read to you down about, if you look in John chapter 6 and verse 27, Jesus said this. It's verse 26, He's answering and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because you did eat the way loaves and fish were filled. He had just fed 5,000. He had done a great miracle, and that miracle was to feed their stomach, as you go back and look at the fish and the bread. And now they were looking for Him again, and they found Him, and He said, you didn't come because of the miracle. You came because you got fed. By the way, did you know, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of folks go look for miracles somewhere or another, but when they get there, it's not that Christ can't save, but if you go looking for something other than Christ, you may not get it. And He said, you didn't come to me because you saw the miracle. You didn't believe in the miracles. You believed because you wanted stomach filled. Then notice in verse 27, He said, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, while the Son of Man giveth unto you, for Him God hath the Father sealed. And then they said to Him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Boy, that set us right. Instead of wanting to get fed physically, now they said, what can we do? And then He gives them this answer, and He said to them, this is the work that God, that ye believe on Him whom He has sent. You see, in time, Jesus Christ worked with a purpose in life. Jesus Christ worked with a priority in His life, John 9, 4. Jesus Christ worked with a perseverance in His life in John 17, 4. Jesus not only knew how the world works, He also can also identify the things that are not working in this world and take the necessary action to make them work again. And that's exactly what we see happen here. what was happening in front of that man was not working for him because he couldn't get in there. But he couldn't make it work for him without the water. Isn't that amazing? Make it without the water. This is the reason that Jesus generally goes where things are not working so well. Here, Jesus executes the difficult task, so there is no doubt as to who gets the result. In John chapter 6, Jesus fed the 5,000. They were more concerned for the food for their body than they were for the salvation of their soul. They were more concerned until Jesus said what he said about what he taught. They had no concern about what he taught. They were more concerned about the food. And so he set them straight. To be human is to have a situation that is difficult and hard to imagine, but not unto God. And yet, it seems that God will not do some things against one's will. I believe that. I believe it all my heart. Man said, I don't want you, he won't mess with you. I believe it all my heart, though, if he sees that your heart's willing to surrender, he'll do everything he can to get the gospel to us that we might be saved. God's divine omnipotence never violates the sanctity of the will of the individual. This paralyzed man was not kept where he was at because of the lack of his will. It was the opportunity, right? I mean, he was there. Why? He wanted to get that water, but never got the opportunity. Isn't it wonderful this morning here, and those listening by radio and those listening by you stream, isn't it a wonderful thing now that you're here? If you have the will to trust Christ as your Savior, you've got the opportunity right now. Isn't that amazing? Then I see the second thing. Note that Jesus asked him, will thou be made whole? John 5, verse 6. What? 38 years? Is this man really asking that question? I'm just ad-libbing a little bit here. To me, it'd be like someone say, it'd be thinking about life. If you're hungry, do you want something to eat? Or if you're thirsty, do you want some water? Sure, if you're hungry, you want something to eat. Sure, if you're thirsty, you want some water. Sure, this man wanted to get in the water. Wait a minute, though. He's not going to help him get in the water. He's going to heal him himself. And he's going to tell him a command to do, which would be hard to do, because he couldn't do it 38 years. It seems that the only way for this man to be healed was to be everyone else into the pool, that's his thinking, when the water was stirred. This man was helpless. By the way, when you and I got saved, we were helpless too. It took God's Son to bring us to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, or the Holy Spirit to tell us about God's Son, because in his Son we know who Jesus is and what he did. Religion has a way of doing the same thing. The first one in, set forth, is one that gets it, or the secular world, our way is yours, or my Jesus is not your Jesus. I want to tell you something, folks. My Jesus is the Jesus of this Bible. I wonder who theirs are. You see, you don't know him by name. You have to know his name to know him personally, though. And I'm great to know that Jesus Christ is explained and expounded and presented through this precious book. My wife and I were hiding the Word of God in our heart, and I was reading in Proverbs the other day, and I called her. I said, oh, come here, I want you to look what I just seen. Went through that, and man, we just rejoiced. It amazes me what the Holy Spirit will do when you get in this book. I mean, get in this book. And I'm grateful to know that he not only wrote it or inspired it to be written, he gave it to us so we can understand. So this is why grace and mercy is so great, because grace and mercy seems to flip such religious system upside down. Do not trust the wrong system. Because if you do, God's going to destroy it one day. I see Jesus gives this man a compassionate command by confronting the system. He confronted the system he was in. He confronted his situation he was in, and in that brought about tremendous change. In John 5:8, he says, rise up, take thy bed and walk. And again, I said that bed was probably a mat of some type. I don't know how heavy it was. What? Can you imagine this guy laying there? And I did, but I've been on this for weeks now. Can you imagine this guy laying there, 38 years, not maybe 15 or 20 of those years, maybe 5 or 10, I don't know how many. He'd been waiting to get in there, couldn't get in there. And here this man, stranger, walks up and asks me, would I be whole? Will thou be made whole? And I tell him, hey, I can't. He talks to it. I guess he thought this man wants to help me get in that water when they stir the water. But all of a sudden, he finds that this man tells him, "Rise up, take thy bed and walk." "Rise, what do you mean? I've been trying to rise up for 38 years. No, he didn't question it, though. I probably would have. I declare, I don't know. I try to think in the flesh. You think some way, some another. Is this guy serious? He didn't know who he was. We got to get in mind, folks. Don't you wonder? Isn't it wonderful we know who he is? Isn't it wonderful 2,000 years later we know who Jesus Christ is? This guy did not know who he was. And suddenly he tells him, "Rise up and walk." And I see what happens when he takes that. When he began to make an urge, I bet you there have been every time that water was stirred, he made an urge to try to get in that water. When he said this, he began to make an urge, a movement. And when he did, faith surged into his soul. And immediately he began to walk around in verse 9. And he did take up his bed and walk. Now that's Sadducee, Pharisee over there, those Jews. Hey, look what he's done. They missed the whole thing. Hey, that's the reason sometimes when God saves our soul and we get around talking to someone about that, they think we lost our mind. Look what he's done. God, do you know what? Just give him a little time. He don't have. I've seen these people before. They never seen a real, truly born again child of God like God puts them if they stay. Hey, folks, listen. I've soon be saved 60 years. That's a pretty good long time. I think that's pretty reverent. It's not that I couldn't fall tomorrow. But nobody's going to confuse me who Jesus Christ is. He's not going to confuse me with the Holy Spirit. I've never seen him. But boy, he's helped me a lot in my 60 years of being saved. And no one's going to ever confuse me about who God the Father is. You say, "Preacher, you're bragging." No, I just know him. And you do too if you're saved. And so I began to see this is amazing. Surround here this. When he faded, the man got up because he was healed, not because he was affected. This man was healed from sickness and from, listen, the bondage of the law. They asked him, "Who did this to you?" "I don't know, I just know this. I've been on that bed for 38 years, and this man came up and asked me a question. Then all of a sudden, I just told him I couldn't get in the water, and he said, 'Rise up, take up that bed and walk.' And I'm going to tell you, that's what I'm doing." And they begin to say, "It's against the law to carry that bed on the Sabbath." You think you could get him to believe that? Do you, listen, don't you know, if God, what Jesus did for him, he also removed him from the curse of the law, if that caused anything at all. By the way, it wasn't against the law to walk. Everybody was doing that around Jerusalem. In fact, everybody just about walked. And yet, no, they're looking for something to try to destroy him. And that's what you see here in these few verses. Jesus did not say, "Do you believe?" to this man. Do you? Isn't it amazing? The world said, "Well, they don't believe." How many people have you seen that said you can get healed? But someone said, "Well, they didn't believe." You don't find one place where he ever told this man, "Do you believe?" Look it up. Only thing he said, what would you have me do? And he didn't say, he could do anything. He began to tell what happened in the water. And when he did say, Jesus said, rise up and walk. And so I see, John adds that this same day was a Sabbath day, verse 9. And John gives us understanding. Note, Jesus did not tell this man to break the Sabbath. You know that? He did not tell him to break the Sabbath. He just told him to take his bed and get up and walk. And that's what the man did. I'm going to tell you what. But folks, if you think about it, so if that man was you, you know what I'd done? I'd have jumped. I'd have run. In fact, I'd have run through that pool. Just show others there's someone here greater than what's been happening here for the last number of years. By the way, and so we see what some things has happened. He didn't know him. He took up his bed and he walked on the Sabbath. He didn't break the Sabbath. He walked on the Sabbath. The last thing, note the confrontation, verse 10. And go back to chapter 5. The law forbids you to carry your bed on the Sabbath, they say. He said in verse 11, the man who made me well said for me to take up my bed and walk. He did not know who he was, but he said, the man who made me well told me to do that. I'd have said, you didn't make me well. Do what you want to do. I'm going to do what the man said do. He didn't know who he was right now. By the way, that's what I'm going to do when it comes to my soul. September 27, 1959, I first heard the gospel. Folks, listen, I don't care what religion said. I wanted to do what the Holy Ghost said do. And that's exactly what this man did. I love it. And I see here, it is obvious that Jesus was working the system to achieve his own purpose. He wasn't just doing it for the man, though he did do it for the man. He was doing it for his purpose to show he's beginning his ministry. He's going to prove to people he has the right to forgive sins because what he can do. Jesus did not have to say, take up your bed and walk. He could have said like Benny Hinn, be healed. And by the way, if he'd said be healed, he'd been healed too, not like Benny Hinn. I'll get a note on that. I know I will. Bless God. This man had no need for the mat any longer. Do not trust the wrong system. Jesus could have done this on another day too, couldn't he? He could have healed him Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He didn't have to do it on the Sabbath day. You know why? He did it because he wanted to do that to prove something. And I'll tell you, God really saved you. You're going to understand that there's a lot of things you realize you thank him for. I'm so glad I understand. I know this law is holy and righteous, but I'm glad the stigma of the curse of the law cannot touch us anymore because Jesus paid the law debt in full. He paid the sin debt in full. And if a person begins to dabble by breaking the law just because they think he can, they're not saved. Because it's precious. The law is precious. God will make the law precious to our heart, even though there's time we can't keep all of it. It covers more than the Ten Commandments. Now see, verse 13, Jesus avoided publicity when he could. Jesus had to face the cross before he faced the crown. And he knew that. What he's doing now is leading to the cross. And he must face the cross before he can face the crown. And in turn, we see that in verse 14. This man did not know where to find Jesus, but watch this. He knew where to find God, and that was in the temple. After it happened, it was so great, he left and he went to the temple. They say, who did this for you? I don't know. The only thing I know, he said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And here I am. And then notice the scripture tells us, if you look in verse 14, it says, and afterwards Jesus finding him in the temple and said unto him, behold, this is unusual. Thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon. What could be any worse than 38 years not being able to walk? The lake of fire. Hell, where Jesus taught back in Luke 16. Well, my Jesus is so good, Jesus, he won't do that. He said one day, since Peter departed me, I never knew you. He said that. If you look in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23. Depart from me. That he says, evil, depart from me. I never knew you. Don't tell me that Christ is not going to be the judge. He judged our sin at Calvary. We can go free in heaven. But that don't mean give us a right to just the will to sin. Because if you do, there's some things. In fact, your light will so shine, it'll manifest who Jesus is, not who he's not. And God will see to that in our lives. And I'll thank God for that. So he goes to the temple. And here we find he goes to God's temple. And there he found Jesus, God's son. He went where he was revealed. And, of course, everything in the temple, if it's done right, reveals the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ anyhow. And so Jesus challenged the rabbinical tradition here. Verse 16, the indictment, he challenged it, it was raised. They persecuted him and tried their best, and he slipped away from them. Verse 17 through 18 of John 5, we see the indictment refuted because he said in verse 37, and he said, the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne the witness to me, and ye have neither heard my voice at any time, or heard his voice at any time, nor seen him. And ye have not his word abiding in you. Why? For whom he has sent him, ye believe not. And then I see in the last thing, verse 39 through 37, the indictment is reversed. First, the indictment is raised up. They try to kill Christ. Second, the indictment is refuted, that where he tells them what to do, that they are the ones that err, not him, because they will not listen to what God the Father has said. And then we see the indictment reversed because he said this, search the Scriptures. Ladies and gentlemen, he didn't have the New Testament. He said, search the Scriptures. The only they had, what they had was the Old Testament. That was the Scriptures. And he said, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And even though you have the Scriptures, and when you search the Scriptures, and you do, because those Jews were high echelon, Pharisees, Sadducees, and men like that, who were teaching others what God was said. And he said, and you will not come to me that you might have life. In light of those Scriptures. And what an amazing thing. And then I like verse 14, when he says this. He said, be whole, thou art made whole. I love that. Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. How could anything be worse than what he had? Yet 30 years had passed. This man left with his past forgiven. He left with a new innocent ahead of him. And he left without guilt and shame. And verse 15 says this, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus, which had made him whole. So in other words, when he met Christ in the temple, he found out who he was, opened his heart to some degree, I guess. He's not going to argue with those about who did it now. He knows who did it, and he begins to serve God because, fine, he does what God said to him to do. He says, depart and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole, and therefore the Jews still tried to persecute Jesus Christ. But the paralyzed man tells the Jews that it was Jesus who has made him whole. Hear me, last, when you and I get saved, the only answer we have, we say it's the same Jesus that made us whole. And without him, we're not made it. Without the blood, we're not washed. Without being born again, we're not in the family. I don't care how people think and what they try to occur. And they call you everything in the book except a born again child of God. It makes no difference. You can't be saved without the spiritual birth. And Jesus is proven here. Everything he does is leading to the time when he hangs on the cross. And I see this story and I rejoice in it. Probably 3 years before it happened. Hanging on the cross. And he pays the sin debt. And now, when I see that he paid the sin debt for me and for you, and we accept the equation that God has given us a new birth, and the Holy Spirit comes in and births us into the family of God, we have the message. We were paralyzed with sin. We have the message to go into this world. We may not tell all they want to hear about him, but we can tell him what this man says. This same Jesus is the one who saved my soul. That's all I know. I want you to know, Jesus saved my soul when I trusted him as Savior. Now, if you let me show you, I've said that. That's all this guy could say. I don't want you doing. This man told me to take my bed and rise up, take my bed and walk, and I'm going to listen to him, not you. And someone comes to me and tries to get me to deny the Lord. I'm going to listen to him. You say, but you're not hurting me. Oh, yeah. Right here, I've seen what he said to this man. And I know what he said to me when I got saved. Now, I didn't know all of them, but you do too if you're saved. So I'm saying to you, do not trust the wrong system. It'll lead you wrong. What is the right system? The family of God. What can close that? This whole book is about that. Even Genesis starts out how he's leading to that which he's going to call his family one day. Aren't you glad you know? If someone asks you, who saved you? What do you mean being saved? Let me tell you about Jesus. In a way, that's what he said. All things know, I was paralyzed 38 years. This man came along, didn't ask me. He just said, what's wrong with me? He said, will you be whole? I tried to tell him, I tried to get him to get whole. And he says, rise up and take thy bed and walk. Here I stand. Here's my bed. We're saved. Here we stand. Here's his word. That's all we have to stand on. Stand to your feet, faithful. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for the precious word of God. Lord, what an amazing story. You hit away there to begin your ministry. I've looked at this and looked at this, and I thought and I thought myself, and I tried to think, Lord, if I'd been there, if I could be that man, what would I have thought as I look at your dialogue? What would I have thought as I understood and tried to understand what you were doing there to show your ministry, leading to a place that when the time comes, when it said Jesus Christ went and paid the sin debt, man will know he did that. Why? Because look what he did at the pool at Bethesda. Look what he did when he called the disciples. Look what he did when he raised Lazarus. Look what he did to raise the widow's unnamed son. She'd already headed to the cemetery to bury him. Look what he did when they buried him on the third day, came forth for the dead. Look at what he did for 40 days on this earth before he went back to be with the Father. Look what he did when he said he sent the Holy Spirit that we'd have him on the day of Pentecost to live in our hearts when we're saved, the down payment. Look what he has done. Amen. He's who said he was. Help someone today see him as the way of life. Please, God, Holy Spirit, help someone take the word of God that's at their door harking, knocking. And the chamber may be there that they just don't want to open up, but he knows the chamber's there. You can't hide it from him. Lord, help someone see that today and come to know the Lord Jesus, Savior. I've seen, Father, in my ministry, the pressure. I have no desire to pressure anyone to try to get saved, because when I do, they make a false confession. I have a desire to see them saved, though. And I've got the word of God, and it's powerful. It's powerful, Lord. It'll do what God says it'll do if I can just get a person to hear it and then get an invitation. I've seen that hundreds upon hundreds of times in the last 60 years. Lord, thank you enough to know that not only did you heal us from our sin problem, you told this man, go and sin no more. And that's what amazes me, because every one of us have been saved here. When Jesus saved our soul, he would tell us the same thing. Go and sin no more. Because let's face it, that should be the goal for everyone's born again. Because the world understands what they call evil and good, even though they got it mixed up. Nowadays, they call that which is good evil and that which is evil good. But we know your standard's right. Help someone see that today. Lord, if you just help one person, it'd be worth our time. And yet I believe it's going to be in heaven one day. Many people, this church through the years, we were, my wife and looking, Lord, this week, we found some statistics back years ago when we put stuff into paper. And we began to see things that happened that we had write up and put into paper many years ago. Things that we had forgot about, but you already have a record of, and we'd rejoice. I'm going to bring someone back. I hope we can put an end to our history here. Lord, you do what you said you'd do, but you won't burglarize no one's will. You won't make anyone do anything. Except when you say, depart from me, I never knew ye. They have no choice but to go where sin is punished. Father, as we preach this book, help us have that compassion. May people see in us something that's different than the world, different than religion. And what you do for us, do through us, we'll thank you and praise you. Help someone today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.